From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, he brings the final portion of a message entitled, Paul at Corinth. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought by C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
The text for this morning is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We go to Christ for forgiveness, and then too often look to the law for power to fight our sins. Paul thus rebukes us, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Take your sins to Christ's cross, for the old man can only be crucified there. We are crucified with him. The only weapon to fight sin with is the spear which pierced the side of Jesus. To give an illustration, you want to overcome an angry temper. How do you go to work? It is very possible you have never tried the right way of going to Jesus with it. How did I get salvation? I came to Jesus just as I was, and I trusted Him to save me. I must kill my angry temper in the same way. It is the only way in which I ever can kill it. I must go to the cross with it, and say to Jesus, Lord, I trust Thee to deliver me from it. This is the only way to give it a death blow. Are you covetous? Do you feel the world entangle you? You may struggle against this evil so long as you please, but if it be your besetting sin, you will never be delivered from it in any way but by the blood of Jesus. Take it to Christ. Tell Him, Lord, I have trusted Thee, and Thy name is Jesus, for Thou dost save Thy people from their sins. Lord, this is one of my sins. Save me from it. Ordinances are nothing without Christ as a means of mortification. Your prayers and your repentances and your tears, the whole of them put together, are worth nothing apart from Him. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good, or helpless saints either. You must be conquerors through Him who hath loved you, if conquerors at all. Our laurels must grow among His olives in Gethsemane.
Men of God, arise, let us praise the King together. Men of God, arise, let us praise His holy name. For His wondrous power within, for His power to cleanse from sin, for His power to take alive and make it whole again. We are called to spread the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled. We've a story to give to our nation, the message of salvation. We'll work and watch and fight and pray. O men of God, arise. Men of God, arise, for He comes to claim His children. Men of God, arise, for He cometh in the sky. spread the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled. We'll tell the wonderful story of the Christ who sets men free.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. After rejection by the intellectuals of Athens, Paul came to Corinth. In contrast to the philosophical climate of Athens, Corinth was a city of business and unbridled pleasure. In spite of his weakened condition, Paul labored on, preaching the message of Christ crucified. As the scriptures make clear, Paul was motivated by a strong necessity to preach the gospel. The Lord gave him great encouragement by assuring him that God had many in Corinth who would be saved. The narrative underscores Paul's constancy in the face of opposition, for he remained in Corinth for 18 months, faithfully preaching Christ. Now to conclude this message entitled, Paul at Corinth, here is Dr. Cairns.
Listen to why Paul preached 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity, underline the word, necessity is laid upon me. In other words, I preach because I have to. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Why did he preach? He says, because God has placed a necessity upon me. God has placed a woe within my soul. And he says, woe unto me if I fail to preach. I preach because I'm compelled by the Spirit of God to preach. Now when he preached, and I'm going to have to be very brief with this, He got into trouble. There was conflict. Verse 6, the Jews. This is a striking thing. I want you to watch it because I like to see the Lord move this way. The Jews went against Paul. Verse 6. And then we read verse 12 through to 17 that again they made insurrection and they brought Paul to the judgment seat. Now the reason for that was that a new deputy had come to Achaia. His name was Gallio. Gallio is a very well-known person in secular history. His brother's better known. He was the brother of the famous Roman philosopher Seneca. He was also an uncle of a great Roman poet called Lucan. And therefore, he came from a well-known family. He himself was well-known. And what's more, unusual among Roman deputies, he was greatly loved. For he was a hail fellow well-met, an easy-going type of character, amiable disposition, well-mannered. In fact, he just sounds like a Free Presbyterian. But like myself. Well, that's the way he was. Everybody liked Gallio. I noticed the sarcastic laughs when I said that, but still. Everybody liked Gallio. It was thought that he didn't really want to be bothered by these bigots like Paul. And so the Jews said, now's the chance. We've got a nice, easy, pliable Roman deputy. Pontius Pilate all over again. Let's drag Paul before him. And they did. And we read, Paul was now about to open his mouth, verse 14, when Gallio stepped in and stopped him. Gallio wouldn't let Paul defend himself. Why? Because he said, this man hasn't broken the laws of Rome. I'm here to administer the laws of Rome, nothing else. Get out of my sight. I'm not interested. Now, I think that we have done Gallio a great disservice many times. We have said Gallio cared for none of those things. He wasn't interested in the gospel. That may be true, but that text doesn't mean that. I'll tell you what it does mean. The Jews beat Paul and Crispus, who had been saved, the leader of the temple or the synagogue, who had been saved. They beat them before the judgment seat. Gallio wouldn't entertain their case against him. And then the Greeks, the heathen, who had been so taken, now imagine this in a wicked city, who had been so taken by the preaching of Paul, they turned against the new leader of the synagogue, Sosthenes, and they beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio turned a blind eye to it. Now, he shouldn't have. A judge shouldn't do that. But doesn't it just show you? God's in control. Oh, there was a mighty conflict raging. And even through this careless Roman deputy, God turned the whole thing against the enemy. And the work of God went on. Notice the converts. Verse 7 and 8. I would to God we had converts like these. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, the leader of the synagogue's worship. God saved him. You know, I think we have got to ask the Lord for something in Greenville. An old preacher used to tell young men when they were going into a district to do a work for God, used to say, ask God to raise a Lazarus. Ask God to save some outstanding sinner, whether a very wicked man or maybe a religious leader who'd be naturally against you. But ask God to raise a Lazarus. Ask God to save a big sinner, to pull in a big fish. Ask God to do it. That's what we've got to be doing. The Lord did that for Paul. Saved Crispus and his whole house. And obviously there was another one, Justus. We don't know what position he held, but he saved him as well. And then through them, many of the Corinthians, whom the Lord saved by his grace. My, we have got to be asking the Lord for that. You know, we can very easily get to the stage, and so many Christian churches have got to this stage, where one of two evils befall us. One, it's just a nice, cozy wee fellowship for Christians. We get together. It's nice to talk to each other. Nice to hear the preaching of the word and twiddle our thumbs and the world goes to hell. We never see anything done. That's the one evil. Then there's the other evil, and I'm not sure that it's not worse. We're feeling the lack of spiritual power to save souls. We manufacture a human substitute and we have a host of man-made decisions without a work of God and of grace being done. Now we want to escape both of those. And the only way to escape both of those is to have a ministry in the Holy Ghost with men on fire for God going after souls to bring them to Jesus Christ and plead the power of God to bring them right through into full salvation. My God is able to save. This is a proof of what Paul wrote in Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in the middle of all this conflict and soul winning, verse 9 and 10, there was the comfort which the Lord gave. You should study that carefully sometime. Paul had come to Corinth in fear, but then the Lord stood by him. And he was comforted. Notice the Lord's compassion. When you're down in the dumps, man, when everybody's forsaken you, and the Lord comes near, and he puts his arm about you, and he speaks in your ear, and he gives you his word of hope. What compassion that the Lord takes notice of the poor, struggling individual. And then the Lord's commission, he says, go and speak and don't hold your peace. And then the Lord's covenant, I am with you. That's God's presence. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. That's God's protection. What a covenant. And then God's confidence. He says, I have much people in this city. Now, Paul was no fool. If 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people had been saved, Paul knew exactly how many had come to Christ. This verse isn't talking of those who have been saved. This is talking about those who have not been saved, but they're going to be saved. And God says, I have much people in this city. Oh, there's still drunkards and adulterers and thieves and vagabonds or some other forms of sinners. They're still serving the devil. They're still in the enemy camp. But Paul, don't be afraid. The circumstances are black and bleak and forbidding. But don't be afraid. I have much people to save here. I'm going to save them. Some people don't like God's sovereignty, but I love it. Some people let it be a bone of contention with them. But it gives me the utmost comfort to know that I serve the God who's on the throne, who knows the end from the beginning, who has a people and he's going to save them, and let every power in hell rage against the gospel. There will not be one unoccupied place in heaven. God is going to save his people. And he's going to keep on saving souls until Jesus comes. Let me tell you, the last thing that Jesus does, even as he comes to earth, is to save a remnant of Israel. He'll save them when they look on him whom they have pierced. He keeps saving right to the end. He says, I have much people in this city. You know, that's nothing new. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10. Do you remember what he said? I am the good shepherd. He talks about himself as the shepherd. Then he talks about his sheep. And he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Do you ever think of that? Here are sheep. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles, so they've never been reached. They haven't been brought. Jesus says, I have yet to bring them. But what does he call them? My sheep. My sheep. Thank God, he has a people. That's my confidence. Even in this day of apostasy and sin, he is a people. And out there in that world of wickedness and ungodliness, God's sheep are there. And he's going to find them. And he's going to bring them in. There's success in the work of God. And that's why in verse 11, finally, we see Paul's constancy. He continued for 18 months. Now, Paul was a missionary. He liked to be moving. But for 18 months, he stayed in the city of Corinth. The word actually is interesting, verse 11. He continued, if you have a marginal reference, you'll see it says he sat. Now, I don't think that's literally true that he sat. Paul just didn't sit back and do nothing. When God says, I'm going to save my people, he didn't sit back and say, well, I believe in a sovereign God, there's nothing for me to do. There are some people who do that. I believe that God is going to save his people, therefore I don't need to do a thing. I remember hearing of one fellow came to preach in one of our churches, and he made a most outlandish statement. He doesn't preach there anymore, I can tell you. But he made a most outlandish statement. He came along to preach as a visitor one Sunday, and he said, God is going to save his people. You don't need to pray. The people nearly come off their seats. Poor fool. Poor fool. Of course he proves it. I don't know how much he prays. It's not for me to judge. But when you hear him preach, you'd think that God was a stranger living a million miles away. You don't need to pray. That's a lie. That's the lie of the devil. God is going to save his people, therefore you need to pray the more. But you say that doesn't make good logic. Well, let's bury human logic then. Because if your logic and God's word don't go together, your logic's wrong. God is going to save his people, so pray all the more. God is going to save his people, so preach all the more. God is going to save his people, so get out there and work all the harder. That's the logic of Holy Scripture. That's what Paul did here. He sat. He continued. The sitting, I think, is resting on the promise of God. Paul was sure of the victory, resting in God's promise. It was also a matter of recognizing the power of the preaching of the word. What did he do? He continued there teaching the word of God among them. He didn't go beyond the word. He kept preaching, 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 getting out the word, giving them Christ crucified. That was his job. It was God's job to see if Paul was merely the mouthpiece preaching and teaching Jesus. Oh, give us men who will go out on fire to get the word of God out, recognizing the power of the preached word, and God will establish his work. And he remained. He continued. He sat. He remained immovable in the face of the onslaughts of the devil. Do you think the devil wanted Paul in Corinth? No, sir. You think the opposition didn't hurt him physically? And they drave him before the judgment seat? When there was this bitter persecution, do you think Paul didn't feel it? I think I've shown you enough this morning to show you that Paul was a man like the rest of us who had his feelings. He felt it all right. But this is the difference between Paul and us. Didn't matter how he felt, he went on. He went on. I remember a preacher talking to me one day. He was very upset. I had cause to be very straight with him. He had been in the wrong in a severe way. And in tears, he talked of a certain man and he said, well, if that man does this, I'm going to quit. I said to him, well, if that's your call to the ministry, that's between you and God. That's your call to preach. It's between you and God. But I don't believe a man who's called of God can look at another man and say, if you do something on me, I'm going to quit. Paul remained immovable. I'm in Greenville, as you can see, because the Lord made it impossible for me to be honorable and faithful and go on with God and be any place else. I have been asked by more than one person, how long do you intend to live in the United States of America? Remember one fellow saying, will you be there for 5 years? Or will you be there for 10 years? I said, I have no idea. I'm here until God says, go. That's why I'm here. That's how long I will be here. So, get it straight and plain, whatever the feelings. I didn't come to please any man. I'll not go to please any man. Paul remained. Now that's not only true of a preacher, that should be true of every member of this church. You should be here because God has you here. And my friend, you shouldn't quit until God tells you to quit. Give us people who are immovable and yet always abounding in the work of the Lord. Give us people like that in the pulpit and in the pew, and we will see a great work done for God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.